Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. So, I don't know, do you guys agree with this? So, one guy from each team that is facing a possible fall-off. Like for the Dodgers, they got Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw, I'm not sure how long he can keep up what he's been doing. He's been unbelievable. He's been the best pitcher in baseball. Is he about to fall off? Yeah, probably. I would imagine he can't. Yeah,
fall off. Why are we expecting him to fall off and Verlander not fall off?
Because
he relies so much on big curveballs and stuff. Man, that's what the Astros do.
Yeah.
Power pitchers tend to last longer, though. Keep that in mind. Kurt Schilling was a guy who lived on fastballs. Nolan Ryan lived
Randy
on fastballs.
Johnson.
Randy Johnson, Justin Verlander. Guys who don't torque the elbow
in
the shoulder, they stick around.
Yep. They got Pete Alonso. Well, is he going to fall off from 53 home runs last year? Yeah. He's not going to hit 53. Or he's not going to hit him at the pace that he was hitting him last year, probably. The DJ LeMahieu, yep. Mike Fiers, yes. He's going to fall off because he's a little bitch. Josh Bell, I don't know why Josh Bell would have to fall off. He's good. Man, he's a big hitter. Jeff Samardzija is still around.
Fall off?
Isn't he dead yet?
What's he doing?
What the hell?
Fall off?
Jonathan Villar.
Ooh.
They got him falling off. Falling off what? Who do you think I got for the Astros?
Well, based on the simulated season, Carlos Correa.
Nope, not him.
Because on the simulated season, it's really going terrible.
Again with the simulated season?
Zach Greinke.
Nope. They got Yuli.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Yuli's a professional hitter.
It makes sense you'd pick Yuli based on his age and all that stuff, but I don't see... His bat speed doesn't look any slower. He's great in clutch situations. I've counted Yuli out in the past.
298, 31, and 104.
I'm done counting Yuli out.
He's a major league hitter.
Yuli is a pro's pro.
The breakout at age 35 looks like a result of the juiced ball, and it remains to be seen if it's repeatable.
Because nothing the Astros have done has ever been legitimate.
No.
Now it's juice ball.
Juice ball. That's why.
Buzzers, trash cans, juice balls. Nothing the Astros have done has ever mattered.
No.
So is everyone scratched off from juice ball? So all the juice ball people are on
the
list, right? Anyone who hit a lot of home runs last year is off their list?
Well, not if you're, Giancarlo or Aaron Judge, because you're big and strong, and so you should be hitting home runs.
Yeah.
Well, they're
and he's a pull hitter who has a short porch in left field, so must be the juice balls.
They got Dallas Keuchel on this list too. Dallas Keuchel fell off in 2016.
Dude, Samardzija was 11-12 last year with the .352.
He won't be that
Although,
good this year.
You know
apparently.
What? His WHIP numbers are 111. That's not bad for how old is Samardzija now? He is 35.
Wow.
He's 35.
And he's got Dallas Keuchel falling off. Dallas Keuchel hasn't been the same since a Cy Young. What are you talking about?
Do you know Jeff Samardzija has one winning season since 2012?
He's made a lot of money, too, I bet.
He made a ton of money.
That's
why you want your son to be a pitcher. Of course, if your son had been a quarterback, that's a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
a lot fewer jobs than pitchers.
He hated pitching. He was all over. He pitched in high school once, and he threw like 13 straight balls. It was like, oh, my God, this is so painful. Can you pull him? But he could bring it. He just threw, he never knew when it was going to be over the plate. That's all.
You didn't tell us this, Dell. Jeshua tells us, yo, if y'all are still on the puppy stuff, no one is nice in the comments of her TikTok. All the freaks are quiet there.
Well, I'm not reading the comments. I pulled it up on the TikTok desktop app and doesn't give you the comment, or not even an app. The desktop page doesn't give you the option of reading comments. I'd have to go on my phone and do that.
I don't.
Oh, a girl who's pretending to be a puppy doesn't have the greatest comments. Surprising.
Do you think you know what?
Yeah, you just say that, Dell.
You can't set your comments to off though on TikTok, can you?
I don't know. You probably can.
I wouldn't even check my comments if I'm making six figures just doing puppy videos and barking, and pretending to get in a tub and then not getting in a tub and running around and rolling around in grass and like, you got my money? As soon as I'm done fetching the ball, I turn to the camera. You got my money? Where's my money? Give me my money. Ting, 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 ding, 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 ding. I don't know how OnlyFans works, but you can't. Are you allowed to do OnlyFans unless you turn into, you kind of have to be a little bit of a freak, don't you, on OnlyFans?
Probably. I went into one of her videos on TikTok, the app itself. The first comment is, how do I delete someone else's TikTok account? Which, in other words, this is so terrible. Yeah. I want to find a way to delete your account.
Can I delete this?
Not it ain't mine. For you. It's not for TikTok. Why is she? It's for the freaks. It's for the fetishes.
Yeah.
Does everybody know what you two are talking about? Because this was a few segments ago.
Okay. Oh, okay. Tell the story, Lance.
So the story is a girl named Jenna Phillips out of Austin.
Keep it weird.
Keep Austin weird. Jenna Phillips found out. She always thought she was like a puppy. She always believed she felt like a puppy.
She was a little girl.
She loves hearing nice girl, good girl. Loves getting affirmations. So she was doing vanilla content on OnlyFans, which is where freaks go, and where Instagram models who look to blow up on the next level will go there. And a couple guys from Chicago, and she didn't say who, so we're not sure who they were from Chicago, told her that there was a big pet scene, like a puppy scene or pet scene. So she started doing her puppy stuff online, and then money started coming in. And she started doing private videos for people who were like, now roll around in the grass and then be naked, and you're going to be a bad girl getting a bath. And she said the most she's ever made charge for a private video was $1,200. So she's making six figures doing puppy videos where she pretends to be a puppy because that's what the freaks want. Freaks want her acting like, but she's doing TikTok. Which is not necessarily where the freaks are.
It's the wrong audience. Yeah. And one person said, don't be shy. Put her down.
Oh. Yeah. Jeshua was right. It's really nice. She's nice.
Someone says,
I mean,
low-key funny. Give her chocolate.
Oh, you don't give dogs chocolate.
Looks like she's eaten a lot of chocolate in her life.
See, now, here we go. Gavel.
Yeah.
It's it.
Your Honor.
I don't know.
Witness continues to be badgered. He continues to rough up the witness.
I'm not into little dogs, but that dog's too big for me. Okay. I don't like the little yappers, but.
Argumentative, speculative, badgering, all of it.
I don't know. That's just me. This is an interesting question because we're watching Outcry, and we saw the Brian Banks story, right? Sean Oakman was predicted to be the first overall pick in 2016 NFL draft by Sports Illustrated. Stop. Actually, I think he might have been second.
They predicted it like before the season started. He was carrying like a third or fourth round grade when it was over.
Yeah.
Sean Oakman was not
when it was over.
By the time the season was over,
he was bad.
He looked great,
but
though.
He
looks the part. He just wasn't
Rice
great.
Played them, and he was on the sideline. We were behind their bench. It was like, oh my God, that dude, holy crap! And it was like, I think it was the first or second game of the season, and when he was still predicted to be a top five pick, That's until he was now. But so this is incorrect. That's until he was accused of rape that same year, 2 weeks before the draft. That is incorrect. He was not predicted.
No.
He was not predicted to be the second overall pick. Instead of signing a $25 million contract. See, this is all. Sean was arrested, would have spent the next 3 years of his life trying to prove his innocence. Yesterday, he was found not guilty, and the sex was consensual. Sean is now vindicated, but his dreams of a career have been destroyed. Do you think that Sean deserves some type of financial reward?
Now, this is somebody with four followers sent this to us.
Yeah.
It's a meme that's already, not a meme, but it's a...
Yeah.
A graphic that was created. Most of that is wrong. He wouldn't have got that contract. He wouldn't have. He did have some character concerns coming out. That whole thing.
Well, that was Baylor was at that time. Everybody,
yeah, there was Baylor in the
there
midst.
There was a lot of stuff going on.
In the midst of those issues. People had done their homework. They didn't think he was a great player anyway. He just looked the part.
Listen, he was in the XFL last year. He wasn't even starting. We did a game. He was on the field. He wasn't that good. So, no, the answer is no. Sean Oakman has had plenty of opportunity to prove that he's an NFL player. He was not going to sign. This is all incorrect. He was not going to sign a $25 million deal.
No.
He was not predicted 2 weeks before the draft to be anywhere close to that. That Sports Illustrated article was before the season. And Sean Oakman was thought, and I thought, holy crap, that dude is going to be... That is a beast. If he'd have come out the year before, been able to come out the year before, he would have been a top five pick. But he wasn't. He wasn't even close to that 2 weeks before the draft. So all these facts are wrong. And Sean Oakman, quite frankly, can't play.
So does he deserve money? I mean, does anyone who, if you're found to have accused someone falsely of sexual assault, you can be imprisoned, right? I mean, that's, I don't know what the charge is, but
yeah,
how does that work?
Well,
because I think they charge.
I think there could be a difference of opinion.
Yes, you have to find out that it was a malicious. It's probably because I remember when Eric Williams, remember the Dallas Cowboys White House thing that they had, and they called it the White House, and
the Brian Banks thing was malicious.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. That was malicious. She just made that up because she was afraid of her father or some crap. Not of her father, but of school. It was just crap. It was just crap. And the dude wasted his life because of it. But that's not this situation. Not at all. All right. 713-780-3776. You need to talk about Craig DeSurf.
Craig DeSurf and my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC have some great offers for you. It's employee pricing going on right now. They do this just a couple times a year. And I know there is a thought, the first time you hear it, you think, oh, this is just a gimmick. But it really isn't a gimmick. And you find that out once you get into this and you start studying it and you start looking at the pricing structures and what they give. This is something they do a couple times a year. This is actually real prices that they give their own employees. And they have that available for you right now, employee pricing, when you stop in at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. You can check it out for yourself. They can get that for all the 2020 Buick SUV models they have. They've got that going on for you. They've got a great pre-owned inventory. If you're looking for pre-owned, they've got employee pricing for everyone on most of the 2020 GMC SUV models as well. If you're looking for a Chevrolet pickup, might I suggest the Silverado? They've got the new 2020 Silverado 1500 crew cab short box and four-wheel drive right now. That's at $45,045, but that's without the discounts, and that is open for negotiation as well, and your trade-in value on top of it. Find the vehicles that you want today. They will deliver them to you right to your doorstep, and they will make the process so easy. They can even do it online. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Chevy. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:17 ESPN 97.5. Ooh, we got another. Did you see another Aaron Andrews situation?
Yeah, Rachel Nichols, reporter for The Jump, and ESPN as a whole. This is an audio recording.
Yeah.
It's
a video.
Okay. Well, she can't be. Her face can never be seen.
No, you couldn't see her face.
No, and it's really a recording of a conversation as opposed to
right.
What happened to Aaron Andrews. It was supposed to make her look bad. The words she used, but apparently, according to Deadspin, none of what the creep, as they called them, who secretly recorded her, none of what that creep alleged actually occurred in the video.
Nichols is clearly unaware that there's a video feed set up in her room for remote filming of her show is running while she discusses internal ESPN matters. Rather than alerting Nichols that her video stream was still live or simply shutting the feed off on ESPN's end, according to sources, an unidentified ESPN employee began to record the video feed on a phone, cut it up, and disseminated it to others in the company.
Whoa.
And then sent it to Deadspin. Apparently, she was talking about, in ESPN, we are extremely disappointed about the leak of a private conversation. It's indefensible and an intrusion on Rachel's privacy. As for the substance of the conversation, it is not reflective of our decision-making on staffing assignments for the NBA, which has largely been driven by the circumstances of the pandemic. Apparently, she was complaining about who got what assignment in the bubble, and she was complaining about ESPN and how they were doing it. So
yeah, she was labeled a fake ally, which I guess would imply that she had issue with maybe an African American's assignment, because what I assume, because that's what the
no
ally
transcripts
think.
Come out like Deadspin didn't put not, the whole thing out.
No,
well apparently it's a crime because Connecticut, where yeah. the feed was going to, in Florida is a two-party state. Both parties have to know they're being recorded.
Right.
So what they did was a crime.
Yeah. So Deadspin said we're not putting any
so
of it out.
So how would people say she's – how do they
but
even
he,
know?
But Deadspin said –
why would they
said,
say she's a fake ally if they don't know?
Deadspin said that none of the allegations, though, are actually accurate. None of what they got. They only got 4 minutes of the 30-minute conversation. But they said there is nothing in that that would – that confirms that accusation.
Well, I guess the person who initially recorded called her a fake ally because they cut it up.
Oh, that's why they recorded it.
Yeah, to see what I guess she said something that they didn't appreciate, and then they dispersed it throughout the company, I guess, to tarnish her name, and then they made it try to make it public as well.
Well, that person is the one that should get fired.
Clearly.
Yeah. Well, I bet they have been.
We don't know.
You recorded without their knowledge. I guarantee you they're gone.
Yeah, and then sent it to people in the company.
They have to be fired.
Yeah, right.
They had to have been fired yesterday.
Right. That's a biznatch move, isn't it?
It's terrible. Look, I don't know what Rachel Nichols said, but it doesn't matter. It's a private conversation.
Yeah.
So you can't, you're not.
Oh, wait. Didn't an NBA owner lose his franchise because of a private conversation?
Yeah, he did.
In his kitchen?
He did.
Yeah.
That's true. But that was the NBA's decision to make. I didn't make a decision. They did.
Oh, America.
What does that mean? Yeah, it happened
to America.
Oh, because
Rachel Nichols is a woman, Dell. You're standing behind her.
What?
Okay.
I didn't, what?
Yeah.
You just made that up.
No.
Yes, you did. You made that up.
No.
I didn't say.
I didn't make it up.
Yes, you did.
Then you were behind Donald Sterling. Then.
Was I?
Yeah. Apparently.
What is he talking about?
I don't know how this. Yeah, I'm not really sure where that connected, where the two intersected.
I never said one thing or the other. All I said is a person who committed a crime, because that's what the law
are you
land
wearing that face?
Recorded a private conversation.
Are you pro wearing that face mask when there's not a pandemic? Is that okay?
Yeah. What face taking away rights, Del?
Out in public?
I am a fan of wearing masks, yes.
But that face shield that lady wore that looked like something from Daft Punk, are you in favor of that when there's no pandemic?
Was that why would it be needed if there's no pandemic?
That's what I want to know. Ask yourself these questions. Raheel's not here anymore to ask the hard questions.
You didn't ask a hard question.
Ask yourself. Why is she wearing that face mask and when there's no pandemic,
but
she looks like Daft Punk?
There is a pandemic. You haven't seen her wearing it when there wasn't a pandemic.
Yeah, I'm talking about that one lady with...
What one lady?
Donald Sterling. What was her name? Who recorded that stuff?
She was wearing a face mask?
Yeah, you haven't seen her face mask?
No.
What's her name?
I don't know. You're making all this up. I don't
know. Dude, no. I'll show it to you right now.
You got Granado disease.
What's her name? It's what was her girlfriend's, the girlfriend's name?
Whose girlfriend's name?
Oh, Stiviano.
Oh, yeah.
She was wearing a face mask?
Well, she should.
Visor.
Good. Oh, she's a visor
girl. Just Google her visor.
Well, she's a visor girl.
You see that? That's reckless wearing that visor out there with no pandemic.
What?
That's a visor to keep the sun out of her face.
That's a whole damn...
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, but you know what? I think she looks better that way.
Oof. Hit gavel.
I mean, he is. Your Honor, I motion to dismiss this whole entire show.
Didn't she wear the visor because she didn't want people taking pictures of her face because now she was being hounded by the police? Not the police, but the media. Mm-hmm. Not because... a pandemic issue. She just don't want people, hey, don't take pictures of me just because I was a girlfriend of an awful man.
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, she probably went, you know what? This looks good. This looks
better. She had different, like her visors. Look at images of her visors. She had them color coordinated with what her outfits were going to be.
It was fashion as well.
Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Black, blue, light blue, pink. Like, it was a fashion accessory also.
She's like an older baby blanket.
She
always
looks
covering up her head.
Belongs in Tron is what she looks like.
Hmm.
Tron is accurate.
Are you guys...
Do you think it was love between her and Sterling?
Not a chance. What's your question, John?
Okay. I was just looking at this picture and I thought, this looks like a couple that loves each other.
Yes.
Does it?
No, it kind of does. It kind of does.
Yeah. I can see how she could go for a guy like Donald Sterling.
It's kind what are you looking at as bank?
His boyish good looks.
I just assume you're looking at his bank statement when you said that.
No, it's just a picture of them sitting courtside together in love.
Boyish?
Yeah.
Are you looking for ghoulish?
oh, yeah, that's what I was. Yeah,
ghoulish.
Looking for ghoulish.
I know it rhymes.
That's my bad.
Are you guys on team Elena Deladone?
Tell the story because I don't know how many people
what
know.
What do you mean are we on her on that
team? The WNBA has denied her request to opt out of the upcoming season for medical reasons.
No, not anymore.
What do you mean?
That story's updated. Now the NBA is like, WNBA is like, we will pay for you to sit on the bench and not do anything.
Well, the Mystics will pay.
The Mystics will.
The Mystics are going to pay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But before that, the WNBA was like, nah, if you opt out, you can't play. You're not getting paid.
This was just updated yesterday that she's not getting paid.
Yeah, the WNBA was like, you're not going to get paid, but the Mystics were like, no, we'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
And so the problem was she has Lyme disease. She said, I've got my blood work.
They had her checked out by other doctors, not her doctors, that said, she's fine.
While her doctor,
she could play.
Yeah. While her doctors told her, you shouldn't play.
Yeah.
Now, she said she takes 64 pills a day is her regimen.
Never-ending, exhausting, miserable cycle, she describes it as, and Lyme disease.
Okay, once again, I don't mean to be an a-hole here, but
pills
how
a day is a lot,
did she just get Lyme disease this year, or did she get it when she's MVP or what?
No, it's not that she can't play. She thinks COVID's going to adversely affect her because she has Lyme disease more than a normal person if they caught it.
So what did the WNBA's doctors are like? They said, nah, fam. She
it was denied by the league. Yeah, she was denied by the league. But the doctors,
because you know,
said
that's going to be a bad look.
She could play.
And if she decided not to, then she wasn't going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't fall under that exception. But the Mystics said, we're going to pay our MVP anyway.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a good move by the Mystic.
Yeah.
You want to keep Elena Deladone. What about Victor Oladipo? Now, it looks like he's going to play.
His is more about the knee, right?
Right. It looks like he's going to play. He says he's watched. He's looking at the league and thinking that he may be playing.
Yeah, he's going.
But because he's been given the clear to go ahead to play, would the Pacers pay him?
I think if he said he wasn't playing because of the knee, the Pacers were like, okay. But he's trying to make sure he's okay to play. But his thing is a basketball-related injury, not COVID. So if he decides, or the doctors decide, yeah, the knee ain't right, then they're going to pay him. There's no. He's not opting out because of COVID. He's opting out because my.
But
knee
what
ain't
if
right.
What if the doctors say no? He's fine to play.
Well, did Kawhi? What did the Spurs doctor say? And Kawhi was like, "No, I'm not playing." Did he get his money from the Spurs?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So I don't think they couldn't. They're not. There's nothing that says, "Oh, okay, we can't pay you." He will still get paid. I think the Pacers have even said that he was going to get paid no matter what the rest of his deal. I think, and he's an impending free agent as well.
There's a strong possibility I might play for Indiana Pacers in Orlando. Say he's backtracking on. But the initial thought was that he wasn't going to get paid.
Yeah, I don't know how that's the case. I hear what you're saying, but I think the Pacers don't want to do everything not to piss him off.
Right.
Because
no, you don't. That's yes.
Because he's going to be a free agent after 2021.
No, you want to. A team is telling you something if they're going to fight you on this.
Yeah.
Like I think the Astros have told Carlos Correa something when they fought him over $750,000. and beat him out of $750,000 last year's arbitration. When he was asking for $5 million and they said no, $4.25 million. What? Wait. And went to arbitration. They told him something. This year, 8, I believe, is what Carlos is. They came to terms with, and that's all fine and good. But when you give Bregman $100 million and you're fighting Carlos Correa over $750,000, you're telling the player something.
Even if it wasn't an intended message, it's a message.
It's a message.
Correa's going to take it as a message.
Absolutely, he's going to. Absolutely. 929 ESPN 97.5 73780 3776. You want to get in here?
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Correction, Carlos Correa won his arbitration, and he did make $5 million last year. But the Astros offered him $4.25 million, and they went to arbitration with him. They lost, but Carlos got his extra $725,000, $750,000, whatever it was. And but it tells you something when you're taking a guy to arbitration over that small amount of money, relatively speaking, in baseball, relatively speaking, and for your starting shortstop and overall number one pick. So yeah, Carlos has had his injuries, and Carlos and he came back and wasn't the same guy. And, you know, he paid the price. He only made $5 million last year. This year, and he had a bounce back year and played pretty well, and was able to get more money, $8 million this year. But he's got one more year of arbitration after this, and I would imagine Carlos Correa's gone after that, right?
I just don't know how you keep Georgie,
right?
Because George is staying, so I don't know how you.
Well, if George is staying,
George will stay. Has to be.
He's losing, because of this, he's losing millions upon millions of dollars.
Why?
Because so many teams are going to be worried about, are we ever going to get back the sponsorships that we had before? People aren't going to be throwing money around this offseason because they don't know that businesses are going to be able to, you know, their profits are going to be the same. This is going to be a tough offseason for free agents.
Good.
Yeah.
Keep them here, Henry.
Well, that's, yeah.
Keep him here.
Right.
But I think George will be a life. To me, George Springer, I'm not, okay, so I don't want Astros Twitter to get upset. But to me, he's got that Craig Biggio feel where he came in, he was your guy. The Astros were at a bad place when Biggio was drafted. They were terrible. And he was part of the renaissance of the Astros and became an all-star, a beloved player. George is the same kind of way to me. He was inside the organization. He was the big shining hope. We all waited for George Springer, and the Astros wouldn't bring up George Springer. And finally, he came up, and his first hit was an infield hit. And Springer has been the heartbeat and kind of the – I mean, I don't want to – Altuve is – you know, Altuve – I don't know. Altuve, I guess, might be the Biggio, too, because he came up from... I guess you can make an argument that Altuve is actually the Biggio. Played the same position, is the best player on the team, came up when there was nothing else, and the team was terrible.
Yeah.
You could make that argument. But I'm just saying, there's something about George Springer that I never want to leave the Houston Astros. He has made baseball a really fun... The baseball environment of the Astros a really fun, after years of... Of just kind of Drayton-y stuff. This, I have never had so much happiness as with this team that truly loved each other and celebrates. He's the guy celebrating in the outfield. No social media presence other than something that somebody else runs, because he said his whole thing, because I know is the guy who used to run his marketing. He said, George is just all about, I'm not going to be online when I can live my life. I'm going to go out there and do stuff. I'm not going to talk about stuff and do this and that. Now, granted, he and his wife is more social media, a big presence, I guess. But George is just one of these guys that is a great guy, great in the city.
No, listen.
I just don't want him to ever leave.
He is, and he is.
I will stack
him. He and Altuve, I think, are the heart of the team.
He has to be.
There is no one person that can say a bad thing about George Springer. Mm-mm. No. He is beloved in that locker room. So it would be a huge loss. It would
be a huge loss. You'd lose your soul. I'll make sure he doesn't leave.
I don't know if anybody loses their soul.
No, he's saying the locker room, the soul of the locker room.
Oh, the soul of the... I got you. Speaking of the locker room and the soul, where's the story about the Redskins? Apparently there is an ugly.
Oh, that came out yesterday that there's going to be some ugly stuff coming out about that team.
Yeah, the question is, where is this story? Expected to be reported by the Washington Post. It was many expected the outlet to share the news on Tuesday, but it's been apparently pushed back to today.
All these reporters alluding to awfulness and nothing as of yet. No firm story.
Well, it's Jason LaConfora shared that the incoming report would expose the warped and toxic culture of Washington's NFL team.
I've heard rumors of alcohol abuse, assault, sexual assaults. Nothing as of yet, though.
So apparently the story might include details from current and former employees on the team detailing what went on inside the front office. I don't know. All I know is that maybe there's something in there that the Redskins are refuting and could have legal ramifications. The Washington Post is going to be careful. Their lawyers say, listen, at this level and this kind of story, lawyer after lawyer after lawyer look at this thing and make sure that there's nothing that would
name. You besmirch a name without facts. It's one thing to report on charges you want to be really careful. I got a different story for you. So there's a guy named Philip Martin McCauley, 61 years old, a Virginia-based actuary, and he's a noted trademark squatter who's registered trademarks for countless team nicknames over the years because he's trying to get paid off of that.
He's got 61 of them, doesn't he? He's got 60 of them or something.
Is that the amount
yesterday?
I saw he was sitting on 44 different
44, that's right. It's 44.
I mean, that's kind of a scumbag, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't you think?
Yeah.
I get that this is his hustle, and people used to buy names up on the early days of the internet. They would register names and buy it up. So I get that's his hustle, but...
Well, it's funny. Because just yesterday, I met with the guys from TPC Industrial. And apparently somebody bought tpcindustrial.com and wanted $1,200 for it.
That's the hat that I want.
And they were like, yeah, yeah. And they were like, okay, we'll just do tpcindl.com.
How much did they want?
They wanted $1,200 for it. I mean, but for nothing. It's a $15 URL.
Well, I told you somebody got my sidelineview.com.
Yeah.
They waited until mine expired and got it.
But then you're kind of...
To print it, intended to put it online
business
magazine.
Now? Is this a business now?
Oh, no,
buy
it has
up
been.
All the names that we possibly
oh,
can?
Oh, no, it has been. Yeah, it has been. Name a name. Come up with a name. Tell me a name.
LanceErline.com.
Okay. Maybe it's open. It says site can't be reached, so maybe somebody has it and didn't put it up. Name another one.
Oh.
What about hard candy?
Okay.
Are you sure you want to look that up on
with a K?
Computer?
Like it's a stripper thing?
Yeah, I don't want to look. I'm not looking that up.
I'll look it up in here.
Come
look
up with
up,
a different one.
Okay, lemon party.
No. Oh, no. What else? Give me another one. What about Mr. Snuggles?
Hardcandy.com is a beauty and cosmetic site.
Cool. MrSnuggles.com. Oh, that may be open. It says server IP address could not be found. Maybe Mr. Snuggles is open. Should I do puppy play?
If you want to play that game on that computer.
Okay, I'm going to try it. Puppy. Nope, not
okay,
this
put
one.
In
this
pants party.
One. Nope. I'm not doing pants party.
Pants party.
I should have known to not do this game with you. But anyway, so this squatter, getting back to the squatter.
It's a party.
He's got four names. Basically, Washington outed him. He's like, well, we'd love to change the name, but we've got an impediment. And this guy's blah, blah, blah. He's like, so now that he's kind of getting blasted, he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not true. I want the club to rebrand, saying he's offered to help the team and the NFL to do so while also revealing the four most viable. Look, I want to help you guys. I want to help. I want to. This is an embarrassment.
That's what I'm
saying. This is an embarrassment to me. And I'd like to help you. What can I do to help? We want that name. That's awesome. I think we can figure this out. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. I'd like $84,000. He hasn't officially said that, but there are four names. Have you seen the names?
Warriors?
Nope.
No?
As far as nicknames are actually tied up in McCauley's name, the Alexandria native said, there are really only four viable options if this is going to be done before starting the 2020 season. The names, Warriors are not one of them.
And what are they?
The Americans. The Washington Americans. You could see that. The Red Tails.
Mm-hmm.
The Renegades. And the Red Hawks.
Because the R has to remain, except for the American one.
All names that McCauley has trademarked for both apparel and football games, which Washington would presumably want for this season.
Washington Redhawks.
The Warriors have also been suggested as a finalist, but McCauley said he has reason to believe Snyder doesn't want that, despite reportedly pursuing it for a former Arena Football League franchise. I do not own a trademark for Washington Warriors. I applied in 2015 and it was suspended. Mr. Snyder does not want it because he could have registered a trademark for Warriors in 2020, but he abandoned on purpose by not responding to USPTO letters asking if he still wanted it.
It doesn't solve the problem, really, because there's a lot of people that would associate it with Native Americans anyway. So it doesn't.
Yeah.
Red Tails is the perfect solution.
Hey, I saw, I don't know if which.
Good. Which, I know somebody who owns it.
Which tribe or nation said co-talkers is one they would approve of. I don't know if it was a Cherokee Nation or Navajo Nation. They said Washington co-talkers.
Code talkers?
Code talkers.
Code, C-O-D-E, talkers.
What does that mean?
I'm trying to...
What is code?
Yeah, there was a movie about that.
There was a movie
that,
about
actually.
It. Like Native Americans were used to break... Was it Nazi? Well, Wind Talkers is the name of the movie.
Oh, that was the name of the movie?
With Nicolas Cage.
And, okay.
Yeah.
I remember that.
But
what
he
was about.
One of the stars, Adam Beach, was a Navajo code talker. It's a Marine secret weapon. They used him so, I guess, foreign adversaries couldn't break code. They used him as their guy. So that was a particular name. But the Redskins, or the team formerly known as that name, have said they're not using any Native American imagery. So it looks like code talkers would be out too. But I know, John, you say Red Tails, and I get that. But if you've offended one group of people, the Red Tails doesn't help them, but I get it. It would be a good fit. Co-talkers with something that would make some sense if you're trying to make amends to the group you offended. But I don't think Daniel Snyder wants any part of that.
No. Well, I think the Red Tails, now don't use the face logo that they used.
No.
But you can just make it an airplane and make it yellow and red. And the red is in the back of the tail, and it's perfect. And you're honoring African-Americans who did great things and became the first pilots, first war pilots in America. I mean, It just makes perfect sense. Plus, you keep the red name in your name. So, I mean,
does he appear to be a man who does things that make sense?
No, he doesn't. And we'll find out about within this little article that's going to be coming out soon, just how deep that goes. 945 ESPN 975-713-780-3776. Come hang with us.
ESPN 975. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I still reflect back, and I know people laugh at me about it. On my screensaver on my computer is the 2-1 changeup that he threw to Soto that was a strike that got called a ball in the seventh inning, and I think changed the entire World Series. Otherwise, we'd be wearing World Series rings with Cole coming in the eighth and ninth, and we would have another ring. But the pitch was there. He was not called a strike. Human error. Computer had it as 95% strike, and it's still, I'm still pissed about it, to be quite frank. So
that was Brent Strom yesterday. That's the first time I've heard him talk.
He had his mask on, too.
He did have his mask on. He's still pissed out. And Mark Berman put the pitch. He put the pitch on his feed. Thanks. That was a courtesy of Mark Berman. He was out there for the press conference with Brent Strom. And yeah, do you remember that pitch?
Vaguely. I remember everything about, like, I didn't, until he said it, I forgot. I mean, I remember talking about it a lot after that.
Here it is. You'll see it.
So I was at the game, way up in the upper deck. Oh, look at Grinky.
Grinky's like, that is such a terrible
call.
That is such a good pitch.
That's a great pitch. And
that would have gone, made it 2-2. And instead it goes 3-1. I believe he walked then?
He walked him, then Kendrick hit the home run. And then Kendrick. And Strom, I guess the strategy was, if he gets out Soto, it was only 2-2, but I guess we assume he gets out Soto, then
he stays in.
Then he stays in to get the Kendrick. And then we get to the eighth and the ninth with Garrett Cole.
Man, Now you're reminding me. Because I was at the game, so I couldn't see it. I just heard the whole crowd go, like, I'm watching, but, you know, you can't really.
Yeah, right.
You can't tell
pitches in the crowd. That's so crap. That is so crap.
How about Strom? It still pisses me off, and it was 95%.
I'm still pissed.
Computer says it's 95% of strike. I'm like, now I know why Jeff Leno ended up, and A.J. Hinch brought him in. He is. I'd always heard he's the analytics guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know he didn't start off that way. He's not a young guy. So he didn't. He was, at some point, he's probably crusty old regular pitching coach. And at some point, he bought into the technology and bought into, you know, just bought into everything the Astros gave him, all the data. And it probably changed who he was as a pitching coach once he bought into the data. And because, you know, every time I see Brent Strom, I always feel like he should, you got to start getting the curveball working. But he's not that at all.
No.
He's not that at all.
No, he's not old, crusty old dude.
He's like analytics grandpa.
Yeah. No. He's not crusty.
Hey, I want to see what your spin rate's looking like. Let's try to get the spin rate up there. And I'd love to see all A's, one B, maybe get a good, you know, 96% spin rate or whatever. You can do that.
Mm-hmm. Gosh.
All right, Paul Strom.
Man, if he gets that strike and he gets Soto out,
you are just, this is going to haunt you. I wish you wouldn't have seen that.
And then Cole comes in for the eighth and ninth. And then everybody can suck it. That says, oh, the Astros cheated. Screw you. It says in the report the Astros did not cheat in 2019. So there it is. There it is. Yeah. Well, if you're going to believe Alex Cora didn't cheat, then okay. Then you better believe this.
Well, yeah, I don't.
But everybody believes Altuve had the buzzer on in 19 against the Chapman.
We don't listen to them anymore. We're done with them.
Yeah,
well, we're done with people. Can I interest you in some stories that are a little off the beaten path, kind of like the puppy play?
Like puppy play?
Not that far. There's a jeweler in Michigan who has buried $1 million worth of goods, and he's selling tickets as a treasure hunt. His name is Johnny Perry. He's the owner of J&M Jewelers in Macomb County. He and his wife, Amy, buried $1 million worth of gold, silver, jewels, and antiques from across Michigan, from Metro Detroit to the Upper Peninsula. Starting August 1st, the treasure will be up for grabs to registered treasure quest hunters. After 23 years, they are closing following a months-long forced temporary closure related to COVID.
I know why they're closing. Because they buried $1 million worth of jewelry instead of selling it.
They made that decision. That does feel... But here's what he's doing. The monthly treasure quest will provide a new source of income for the Perry family. Registering for each treasure hunt is $50. He could have sold the contents of his shop and retired. Instead, he put his entire life investment into the ground with an ideal hope and dream to give all fun, adventure, bonding, and the memories that will last forever. So in a way, he's Willy Wonka of Detroit and with jewelry. In a way, he wants everyone to look for their own golden ticket. Only you don't have to buy candy to get the golden ticket. You just have to give him $50. If you get $50, that's a golden ticket, and you get to go on a treasure hunt.
It's not really now, a golden ticket.
Is there going to be a
winner? You got to go find it after
yeah.
you. Well, Charlie wasn't a winner. Do I get a map?
No one was. Well, let's see. After going stir crazy while at home amid the pandemic, blah, 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 those adventures led him to realize he wasn't truly happy with his business and the idea of turning his inventory into a treasure hunt. The first quest begins at 10 a.m. on August 1st. The prize is 2 100-ounce bars of 0.99 pure silver, which is worth about $4,200. The winner will have to the option to keep the bars or sell them back to Johnny Perry. Go to johnnystreasurequest.com to register.
How many people will sign up for a $50 chance to win $4,000?
I guess if you have to register for each treasure quest, 50 to win $4,000 is not bad, I guess.
No.
You know, it's 800 times your money.
Yeah. How many people will sign up? More than 800? More than 800?
Newly added quest.
But
is there,
now, wait a minute. But your odds aren't that. Your odds are how many people are out there looking for it. If it's just
guy,
you.
You want me to get this guy on the show?
Not really.
I know. Why is it? Is Mark Klein going to do a treasure hunt?
Mark Klein hasn't been burying jewelry. He's been selling it.
Why don't he? Why doesn't he do a treasure hunt?
Since 1960,
I think
they've
you're
been
missing
selling.
It. This guy's the Willy Wonka.
No,
there's not going to be. Is there going to be a sassy girl who ends up doing something that causes her to balloon up? Is there going to be like a little a-hole like Mike TV?
Are Grandma and Grandpa going to be laying in bed?
I got the golden. Hey, here, Richie. Here's a $50 bill for you to go on the treasure hunt. Wow. This is our big chance to get out of these beds where we're laying head to foot with these other grandparents.
Y'all can get distracted by the chocolate, but he ain't going to distract me from that slave labor he had in there with those Oompa Loompas.
Oompa Loompas? They were living a great life.
Sure, they were trafficking in
candies.
They're trafficking at Oompa Loompas?
Yeah. Where do you think they all come from? You see Oompa Loompas running around normal
London? What was the biggest atrocity? Was it that? Or two sets of grandparents sleeping foot to head in the same bed? At some point, they're like, here's the $50, Charlie.
Do we remember what happened?
A treasure hunt. And like, Grandpa, I won the $4,200 with the silver. What?
We
were winning a million.
Did we see what happened to the kids who didn't win? Like the guy.
Yeah.
What happened to them? Like afterwards.
But they were bad kids.
And
no, we know they got rolled up out of there by the Oompa Loompas.
Yeah. What happened
ways.
To them? What happened to them? By the
Hopefully, they were beaten and then summarily dismissed back to their homes.
Did we see any story about man? Poor Violet. Now she's.
Let me tell you what Violet Beauregard did. She got into her parents got her into a school she didn't. Her parents bought her way into a school.
You think that?
Yeah.
You know what actually happened? Charlie sold her ass to an Eastern European in the white slave trade.
You know who she was? Shiv. Yeah. That's speculative, Your
That's
Honor.
A movie. You know
no,
what happened
speculative.
To those kids? What do you think happened to those kids?
Hearsay. Let me tell you who she was. Shiv Roy is who she became.
Ooh.
No. No chance.
She got a big booty like that?
Chevrolet can't fall.
You know, you don't want to see
some booty.
I can't decide. She's thick, but she's like, yeah.
You know, there's a, I got to find the
Chip
movie.
Roy makes you think.
Chip Roy's like, Lance, wow, I don't know.
That's Succession talk.
Maybe a, I know. Maybe a little too much, you but watch maybe her, right? Not.
I know who she is, but I'm trying to think of the movie the actress
South
is
African,
in.
By the way.
Who, Sarah, what movie is it? It's so creepy. It'll shake you from your from thinking about Chip Roy that way.
Oh, she was in it?
She's in the movie. I got to
find what movie?
It's called
not the movie Hard Candy because
no,
that one. Will,
no, oh the
that's a little
the Ellen Page one.
Predestination.
Too. It's called Predestination. It's this circular thing where you become your parent and also you're also your daughter. It's so weird. It has Ethan Hawke and
is it any good?
Sarah Snook.
Yeah, I got it. I liked it.
Is that her name?
Yeah, that's her name. 83% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What's it called?
Good. Predestination. If you like mind bending stuff.
Oh yeah, I do like that.
You're gonna,
did she do stuff in a movie?
Just watch it. You're gonna get. Just watch it.
It's creepy.
Is it creepier than the Ellen Burstyn movie, it's Requiem got, for a Dream?
It's got. You've watched how many episodes of Dark?
I'm only on one. I had
it's
to finish.
Kind of got that vibe where.
I'm gonna watch this. Is this a movie or a show?
It's a movie. Predestination.
I'm gonna watch it today.
You got to find it someplace.
And Shiv is doing stuff in it.
Don't tell him anything.
No, I don't. It's not a. Just watch it. You're gonna think of her in a different light. Ethan Hawke's in it as well, so it's got a good cast. Okay. Predestination.
The Unmarried Mother.
And how about Tom? Her husband looks a lot like Peyton Manning. I mean, he's got the big Peyton Manning forehead.
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
That dude is
that guy's awesome. I watched Quiz. Did you see Quiz on AMC?
No, that dude is most famous for being Mr. Darcy.
In what?
In Sense and isn't it Sense and Sensibility?
Yeah,
he's so most he's
an English so he's an English actor, but he plays so he plays a role. There's something called Quiz, and it's about a husband and wife who are believed they went to court and actually they went to court. I'll leave it there in case you want to see it. It's a just a 3-part show on AMC. You can watch it on
what's
demand.
It called?
It's called Quiz, and it's about they won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. They won $1 million, and they were accused of cheating to win $1 million, and the girl. The sister from Fleabag is the wife, and then that guy, Tom from Succession, is the husband.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually a good show.
Can I ask you a question, though? Why is an Englishman playing an American and a South African woman playing?
Because they're better actors.
And
than
you know, Logan Roy is Irish.
Yeah.
Or Scottish. He's Scottish.
That's, how about that America?
That happens on every show.
Appropriation.
Idris Elba.
Appropriation.
Idris Elba was a drug dealer in Maryland, and he's from England. This happens all the time. The amount. You
I'm
know
tired
why?
Of this Hold appropriation. On. So let we got to. We got to watch why? Americans.
You want me to tell you why? Here's why. I asked this very question on my podcast with Eric. We had a guy on named Nick. I mean, it's called named Stark Sands, and he's a Tony Award winner, and he's been in some different movies, but it's mostly Broadway. And I said, hey, why is it, because he did a British accent for something. I said, let me ask you a question. Why is it that so many actors who come over here, so many, they're either Australian, they are South African, or they're English. Like, but they do American accents great. I mean, they do them like damn near perfectly. But then I said, it doesn't work the other way. He goes, I'm going to tell you why. And you're going to think that. I'm joking, but I'm not joking. It's because the English think that highly of themselves that they would, English director or producer or executive producer would rather trust an English actor or even in some cases Australian actor to come over and play the American role. But they would never think of you, mm-hmm. an American, coming over and playing a role ever, ever, ever. They just think more highly of themselves. They just think they're the best actors and the best theater scene. And so he said a lot of times they'd rather have a British actor do an American accent than get an American accent.
Racist.
They are literally taking our jobs. Are taking our jobs.
To your point, the creator of Succession from Shropshire, England.
Yeah. But he did Peep Show.
But he grabbed international actors
to play Jesse American. Armstrong. You talking about Jesse Armstrong?
Yes.
Jesse Armstrong snatched up a bunch of international actors and, of course, a Culkin.
Oh, yeah.
And Kendall Roy is not English. I looked him up, too. And neither is Greg.
Greg's America.
Thank
you.
Greg has to be an American.
Oh, Greg is America.
Greg is basically right. Jonah.
1001 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Come in.
ESPN. 97.5.